It's now time for Trivia Tracks with yours truly, Price Robertson. In the 1930s and 40s, the husband and wife team of Ozzie and Harriet Nelson were favorites on the radio. After a stint on Red Skelton's radio show, the Nelsons were given their own situation comedy on the dial. In 1952, the Nelsons brought their show to television when ABC premiered The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, which ran for 435 episodes, ending in 1966. It spanned the last few months of the Truman administration, all of the Eisenhower administration, the Kennedy administration, and the first half of the Johnson administration. Like its radio predecessor, the TV series focused mainly on the Nelson family at home, dealing with everyday problems. As the series progressed, and sons David and Rick grew up, storylines involving various characters were introduced. When David and Rick married June Blair and Kristen Harmon, respectively, their wives joined the cast of Ozzie and Harriet, and their marriages were written into the series. What was seldom written into the series was Ozzie's profession, or mention of his lengthy and successful band-leading career. Meanwhile, Rick Nelson's career as a teen idol surged between the late 50s and early 60s, with a number of hit records, from Hello Mary Lou to Travelin' Man. In 1962, Ozzie and Harriet became the first primetime scripted series on American TV to reach the 10-year milestone. And the following year, it cracked the Nielsen ratings for the first and only time, in 29th place during its 11th season. Having run for a total of 14 seasons, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet remains the longest-running live-action American television sitcom. Most major companies first find success when one big product breaks through with customers. Then they try to expand their horizons and profits with brand extensions. Successful examples: Coca-Cola's Diet Coke, or the Disney movie studio launching Disneyland. Here are the following unsuccessful examples. The name Colgate probably makes most consumers think of toothpaste, which is great. Companies fight for years to have that kind of name recognition. However, the other thing people most associate with toothpaste is that you use it and then immediately spit it out of your mouth, which means Colgate's line of frozen dinners. Colgate kitchen entrees was extremely ill-conceived. In the 90s, chicken soup for the soul was a publishing and cultural phenomenon. Readers bought tens of millions of copies of the various books in the series that collected inspirational, positive, and heartwarming true stories. Beyond the original flavor, there were books like Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, Chicken Soup for the Canadian Soul, Chicken Soup for the Soul in the Classroom, and then non-book branded products like Chicken Soup for the Dog Lover Soul. It was a little confusing for customers. The cans depicted the ingredients that make up chicken soup, but it was actually a dog food. In 1990, the North American Wrestling Association was formed. The last effort to revive the National Wrestling Alliance's Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Territory. The NAWA's first TV taping was February 8, 1990, in Sumter, South Carolina. In July of that year, the organization changed its name to South Atlantic Pro Wrestling, which featured many Mid-Atlantic veterans such as Big John Studd, Bob Orton Jr., Junkyard Dog, Paul Jones, Randy Colley, Ricky Steamboat, Robert Fuller, Tommy Rich, Wahoo McDaniel, and the Fantastics, to name several. The SAPW also showcased younger talent like Curtis Thompson, The Patriot, and Rob Van Dam, to name a few. The SAPW catered to traditional Southern wrestling fans that had grown up during the Mid-Atlantic Territory's glory years of previous decades. In spite of a strong start, the promotion operated at a loss during its first 6 months in business. The SAPW remained in the so-called Friday Night Death Slot on TV throughout its two-year run. Its last official show was held in Cerro Gordo, North Carolina, on August 1, 1992. This name is most associated with low-budget films in the science fiction, crime, and horror genres, intercutting stock footage. Yes, we're talking about Ed Wood, who in 1975 was awarded a Golden Turkey Award as Worst Director of All Time, renewing public interest in his work. Edward Davis Wood Jr. was born in Poughkeepsie, New York, in 1924. During his childhood, Wood was interested in the performing arts and pulp fiction. On his 12th birthday in 1936, Wood received as a gift his first movie camera, a Kodak Cine Special. After a stint in World War II, Wood moved to Hollywood and started working in low-budget productions. He later became friends with Bela Lugosi. And in 1959, there was the release of Plan 9 from Outer Space, Wood's best-known film that received a cult following after 1980, when Michael Medved declared the film the worst film ever made in his book The Golden Turkey Awards. Plan 9 from Outer Space contained footage from an unfinished film starring Bela Lugosi prior to his death in August of 1956. Beginning the 1960s until his death in 1978, Wood was the author of a number of novels. In 1994, a film about the life and career of Ed Wood hit theaters, starring Johnny Depp as Wood. In May of 1998, the last episode of TV's long-running Seinfeld was broadcast. At that same time, People magazine, for their scoop section, searched for some people across the country who happened to share the same names with the show's main characters. Jerry Seinfeld, yes, his real name, was a retired appliance store owner whose shop was in Oceanside, New York, not far from where the more famous Jerry Seinfeld grew up. In the 80s, the unfamous Jerry met his namesake in Atlantic City, New Jersey. In a brief chat, the two established that their roots traced to Austria. The older Jerry, then 68, said, "We're probably related somewhere down the line." His wife, Alicia, seemed less interested in genealogy. Said Alicia, "Just send me one of the other Jerry's paychecks." Elaine Bennis, 52, at the time the People magazine scoop was written, is a clerical worker from Westchester, Illinois. She's often said she has little in common with her scatterbrained and paranoid namesake. Newman, first name Paul, by the way, worked as a mailman in Philadelphia, just like the TV Newman at the time of People's Seinfeld scoop. He told People he was used to being teased, but now he often got Seinfeld's signature, "Hello, Newman." His wife, Gail, watched the show more, but when he finally saw Newman as played by Wayne Knight on TV, Paul Newman said, "I thought he looked cool." Finally, People magazine couldn't look for a person with the name Cosmo Kramer.